ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is Friday morning at 8 o'clock, and you know what that means. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Teron Davenport to the program, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. TD, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
A lot, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, the Nicholas Petitfrère era coming to an end yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. I saw this this stat that Suss tweeted out from the Tennessean, which is pretty incredible when you kind of lay it out this way. Titans now only have 3 of 23 players drafted between 2020 and 2022 on the roster. The only team with a lower percentage is Arizona, and the teams with the highest percentage in that span, Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, Cincinnati. Mm. And Suss says, you know, drafting kind of matters here. You know, TD, we know that it's been bad, and, you know, obviously we saw Nicholas Petitfrère attempt to play right tackle last year, but when it's laid out that way, it's really no surprise the Titans are where they are in the standings right now.
No, it isn't any surprise, and I'm glad that he rolled that stat out because, you know, we've talked before about how some of these complete draft classes are gone, and we pointed to that, well, as a reason why, you know, like the spending had to happen the way it did last year and how, okay, you know, Rand Carthon should have got some more time because you look at just what had to be cleaned up. And it was a bad situation, just put it that way. And I know, you know, some people have pointed to the Commanders and said, hey, well, if they could do it, the Titans should be able to do it too, forgetting that, you know, that guy, Jaden Daniels, had one of the best rookie quarterback seasons ever.
Yeah, no question. They had some good pickups for sure, but it's that guy who Titans fans hope Cam Ward is next year, right? But
right.
But you know, I guess I do wonder, and you know, this draft is going to be key for that too. I see a lot of holes, obviously. We all do on this roster. Corner is one of those places that I was kind of saying, okay, that could be a pretty, you know, a stronger position potentially for them. Now we have all this stuff with Legarius Sneed. There are already questions about, like, the health and is he going to be, you know, get back to 2023 Sneed next season and all that. But with this situation, TD, how do you see this playing out? Do you feel like there's a stronger possibility now that Legarius Sneed is not part of this team next season?
I don't think it necessarily says that. I do think that there will be a suspension. Like, I think there's a very strong chance that he's a part of the team but not playing in some of the games that they play next season. And look, there's no excuse for what happened. I mean, even if he wasn't the guy, you know, shooting, still you got to separate yourself from that. And unfortunately, you know, he was involved in something that, you know, a guy in his situation just shouldn't. I've said it before, you know, these things, not that exact thing, but things along those lines where you catch yourself in a situation that you really have no business being in, they happen, but you got to try to avoid it. And I would say he's probably not going to be in a uniform for the full 17 games next year.
If he does get suspended, do you think the Titans will consider trying to move on? Because obviously, you know, the guarantee, I mean, you know, financially it gives them a more of an out, obviously, but they also need corner play this year. How do you think they'll handle that if and when it comes down?
Yeah, that's the tough balance that they're going to have to figure out. I think there's a chance, right? I definitely think there's a chance. I mean, obviously, they're trying to recoup some cash and things like that, you know, with all the money they spent last year and the money that's going into the stadium, et cetera. So I wouldn't be surprised. But in my opinion, I think even though he didn't play a lot last year, he still had an impact. I mean, just go talk to Jarvis Brownlee Jr. Talk to him, and he'll tell you, you know, how much of a role Sneed played in him having a very good, you know, rookie year, especially for a guy who was drafted where he was. So that stuff matters. I think they will keep him, but, I mean, look, we'll see.
So, TD, you caught up with Xavier Restrepo this week on Talking with TD, and he's a really interesting guy to me from the standpoint of he's incredibly productive at Miami. There's a lot of conversation, yeah, obviously, with him after his pro day with the 40 time, maybe not being exactly what people were looking for there. But as you talked with him, as you've dug into him and what he's all about and his production at Miami, where do you think he could go in this draft, and what would your interest level be if you're the Titans? Obviously, a guy that's extremely familiar with Cam Ward.
Yeah, I think, you know, fifth, sixth round, I think right in that ballpark is where I could see him going. And end of the day, and he said it best, right? End of the day, you know, you play football, right? Like, you're not bringing a guy in to run 40 yards straight at all the time, right? And you look at him, he's a guy, he's quicker than he is fast. He knows how to get separation. He's tough. He catches the ball. He's reliable. And those are the things that you want as a quarterback. And, you know, he and Cam Ward, you know, they established a quick relationship, a strong one quickly. And, you know, it started with going out and grabbing smoothies, right? And then all of a sudden they were inseparable, you know, in the film room. And they got the, you know, blessing to be able to, at some times if they needed to, freelance. And I think when you have that type of relationship with somebody, like, it's something that you want to carry on into – you know, the next level. And I think that's something that would help Cam get settled in and just be productive from the start. So I would be all on that. And, you know, the Titans, you know, obviously are looking at Kyle Williams too. So these are guys that, you know, you do want to look at bringing somebody in to, you know, kind of be that blanket for him, you know.
Man, fifth, sixth, watching that guy play, if that's where he's going to go in this draft, I think that's a heck of a value. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 40 time stuff can get really out of hand. So, TD, the next time we talk to you, we will, I think, be talking about Titans quarterback Cam Ward after the first night of the draft. What's the most, I'm going to ask for a little prediction here, what's the biggest shocker that we're going to see on draft night on the first round of the draft?
I'll say, so on draft night, let's see.
Looking for your hottest take.
Hottest take. You know, I'm not really a hot take person, but let me see what I could come up with for you.
We do know somebody that's a hot take enough for all of us, so it kind of balances out.
Shadur, by the way, Shadur is a TV prospect. Have you dunked on him on this at any point? You know, has he presented that one to you?
What about Shadur doing what?
Well, we yelled at him earlier on the show. Shadur is a TV prospect, which goes back to, like, Stephen A. Smith is friends with Dion, and so they talk Shadur up. I mean, God. You know, that's you know, the stilly mindset.
Shadur, look, Shadur is a very good quarterback, one of the most accurate ones ever. Check the internet, the numbers are there, but I mean, I could see where you say he's a TV quarterback, but I don't say it's because of, you know, Stephen A. or it's his dad. You know, you look what Deion said, right? You know, there wouldn't be so much controversy about his jersey getting retired or so much controversy about him if he wasn't a Sanders. And that's really what it boils down to. If he was Shadur Smith, I think, you know, or I'll put it to you this way. I put it to you, and my guy Emory Hunt, Football Game Plan. And by the way, let me plug his draft guide. If you haven't gotten it, go to footballgameplan.com. Get it. It's the deepest guide out there. 1,200 reports, and actual reports, not list of names. But one of the things that he said when we were together and he was doing a radio show, he said, if Jackson Dart has Shadur Sanders' numbers, everyone would be talking about lock him up to the Titans at number one overall. And when he said that, I thought about it, and I said, you know what, he's right.
That's an interesting – so basically you and Stilly are on the opposite ends of this. I mean, to me, I still feel like there's numbers and there's also just evaluation of skill set, right?
Yeah.
And I know you and I both like Shadur's a lot, but
– I'm interested to see where he goes on that front. TD, I got one for you here. Let's say Luther Burden and Jaden Higgins are available for the Titans at 35. Which way are you going if you're Tennessee? Dang.
Look, man, there's no conversation to me about that one. Luther Burden, I mean, he's been my favorite receiver this whole year. So I definitely would go that route. I know there's some things have to be ironed out, but I think, you know, like most other situations, if you have the right environment and the right people to be able to you know, push him in the right direction, I think you're fine. And, I mean, look, man, you pair he and Cam Ward together, you got something special. Jaden Higgins, you know, different player. You know, you're not going to get the free yards with him, but he's a guy that, you know, third and 11, he runs the curl route. He's going to square up, catch it, and get you that first down, which is valuable. But Burden is a better player, in my opinion.
I'm with you. I keep seeing all these mocks that have Burden available at 35, and I guess I'm just to the point, TD, where I'll believe that when I see it. I think somebody is taking him before 35. I'd be stunned if they don't.
Yeah, it's probably going to happen, but I will say there are legit things that, you know, not any getting in trouble or stuff like that, but there are some legit things where, you know, there is some concern across some of the organizations about him. But, I mean, these things are like, you could curb that. It's very, very fixable or correctable, if you want to use that type of phrase.
So, TD, my favorite player in this class is absolutely Cam Scadaboo. And the Titans had him in for a 30 visit. So they've had other backs too. Do you expect them to take a back in this draft?
Yeah, I think they will. I know, you know, Donovan Edwards from Michigan is another guy that they've liked. I remember at the combine, you know, watching running backs coach Steve Jordan, man. Like, he was all over all the backs. You know, they'll get done running the 40, he'll call them over, and, you know, he'd just talk shop with them and then send them back to the line. You know, he was definitely, you know, involved with a lot of running backs. I wouldn't be surprised if they do. I think when you look at Cam Scatterboo, man, you got to remember, and I know numbers aren't everything, but like, this dude was like 2,300 total yards. Like, he runs hard. He catches the ball well. He has that mindset. And he's one of those, like, you need a certain amount of those players where it's just like Darren Bates types. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, yo, like, if we go into battle, like, I want this guy next to me. You know what I mean? And he's one of those guys, in my opinion, and I think he would be a solid pick. But there's other things that they need to make sure that they take care of first.
Well, TD, we've finally made it. We're less than a week away from the start of the draft. We appreciate so much your perspective, as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, for sure. And make sure you guys check out Talking with TD, because Restrepo's on there, but so is Landon Jackson.
Yep.
He's one of the guys to be in the mix at the top of the second round.
Yep, and sure. I know you really love Landon Jackson as well, so make sure you check that out, Talking with TD. We've tweeted it out, by the way, at 102.5 The Game, so you can check out the link to that there. TD, thank you, sir.
I appreciate it. Go Mets.
There we go. Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll come back. We'll react to what TD had to say on the Titans. Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. Joe, the Nicholas Petitfrere era in Nashville has come to an end. That is a wild stat that Nick Suss threw out there. I mean, look, it's not like we don't know that the drafting around here has been bad, but thinking about 3 of 23 players that have been drafted between 2020 and 2022 that are on the roster right now, only the Cardinals with a lower percentage of that. Like, that's a wild stat. And then you look at the highest percentage of draft picks, Kansas City, well, they've been pretty good, Baltimore, Buffalo, Cincinnati. It's when you look at it laid out that way, it is truly incredible, and that's a large reason why the Titans are where they are.
Yeah, it totally adds up. I mean, it's and again, it's like the 32nd best roster, right?
Yeah,
this is per the Athletic.
Yep.
So it kind of all goes together there. So as TD said, you know, it's, and I agree with what TD said, that's what, like, they had to spend as much as they do. It's true. I mean, you do. Like, if you're going to try to be competitive and your drafting has been this bad, then you have to try to compensate in free agency. Unfortunately for the Titans, they just, most of the choices, not all, but most, did not work out well. So you're just stuck with a bad football team. But, of course, Rand is out. But Chad's overseeing the whole thing. Chad was part of all that too. So we'll see how it goes from here with the new math in the front office. But this draft, I mean, first of all, this draft's already going to define the whole thing, because they're taking the quarterback one.
Yeah.
So there you go. The clock starts. But also, man, they need a really good draft, and it's been a while.
You know, it's the Restrepo thing's interesting too, because we were talking about, you know, when the draft process started, maybe second round, maybe third round, like could you find Restrepo in that? And then he ran at his pro day, and he didn't run a good time. And that seems to have really affected, like, the way he's viewed. Like, I'm kind of with you. Like, if you could get him in the fifth or sixth round, like, it's probably worth taking a shot on at that point based on how productive he was in college. Like, look, I'm not overly excited about the 40 time either. I do think sometimes that gets made a little too important in the process. It's not unimportant. I realize that. Like, I don't think Juwan Jennings' 40 time is great. He's a productive player. I know that they're not exactly the same player, but you can overcome at times, depending on who you are, not having a great 40 time in the NFL.
Yeah, the quickness and speed are not the same thing. Football speed and lining up in shorts and running a 40 are not the same thing. Sometimes I just feel like with some players, the times and what you see on the field matches up, and with some, it does. They don't match up. I watched that guy play enough. That guy's going to come make plays in the NFL. I feel confident saying that. If you can get a guy who can make plays in the NFL in the fifth round, especially now, because I think the sixth and seventh in particular are devalued in this league, because guys that are – now there's still plenty of people who have inflated expectations and they come out in the draft, but a lot of people who are just like, you're going to be a low round slash UDFA, okay, well, I'm gonna go back to college football and make money that way. So the draft is way weaker at the end now. So if someone like that were to fall like the fifth round, I mean, I think that's a massive steal.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that shakes out for him. You know, I'm still, you know, we talked to TD about Burden there. I believe he's available at 35 when I see it. Now, you know, I think it was Chris Collinsworth was talking about Luther Burden. And called him his favorite receiver in the draft, said he's like a faster Deebo Samuel was the comp that he gave.
Okay.
We'll see about that. But I watch him play. Like, the ability is there. My question is, like, when's the run on receivers going to start? Because it's going to happen at some point here, and it usually happens some point late in the first round. I don't know if that's going to happen this year, if people are that excited about this specific receiver class. But whether it's like, you know, I think Golden, I mean, it's trending where based on mock draft people, and again, take that with a grain of salt, but like Golden is now like the top guy.
And Some still have
Tet McMillan. I've seen Tet McMillan available at like 25 or 26.
Seems like there's a gap there.
Yeah, it's like it's weird the way that this is kind of going with McMillan towards the end of this year. So.
Yeah, he could be all over the place.
Yep.
So I still feel like he and Golden, I would guess, would go, and then the Bird Igbuka, my gosh, I better hope he doesn't come here because I really butcher the name. But I think that's where you get into the like late first, early second run.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that I still feel like the Titans, you know, if they love Bird and he's there, it's like, man, how do you resist that? But again, go to that 15 to 75 thing. If that's true, you know, if that's really the quality level and that's an accurate depiction of it, if you can somehow get out of 35, get into the 50s or whatever,
yep,
and also then get into the 60s, the 70s, early 70s, yep, that to me, then you just got two football players that are comparable to the one football player you get at 35.
Well, and then the question becomes, you know, if you view it that way, that's great, and that would be probably the way I'd like to go too. Then, like, what about other teams? Like, are they more hesitant to trade up if they kind of view it the same way of, oh, we can get a similar level football player later without having to move up to 35 with the Titans? Like what it would take is somebody in love with, I don't know, Landon Jackson or Luther Burden or one of those guys,
yeah,
that you would then have to make the decision to not draft and move back and get, you know, more quantity that way.
Yeah, and when you talk about Bird in particular, I like him a lot. I the idea that he's going to be Deebo but faster, that's lofty. But he does physically remind me of Deebo.
Yep.
I mean, that's, you know, he's, I just, I really think he's going to be a good player in this league. But you just, you know, you need so much, and I think it would have to be someone that, like, you're blown away that that person is there for you at 35, or else I think you'd have to think about it. Because obviously the Titans they've just been moving, along with this bad drafting, they've been moving up and not moving down.
Well, then, you know, does your situation at the moment at corner maybe influence that too? Are you more willing to trade back and really try to pick up more picks where you can fill maybe a receiver spot with corner or an edge rusher spot with corner and then try to get a receiver later in the draft? Like, it's – does corner creep in here? Because, look, I think corner could creep in. You heard TD say it there, and I agree. I mean, they're clearly taking a long look at running back here. So running back is at least on their radar heading into this thing. They don't have that many picks right now in the draft. So that's a lot of positions that we think they could be looking at that at the moment there's not the draft capital to match, at least quality draft capital.
Just whatever you need to do, get yourself in position to draft Scataboo. I'm glad TD shares my enthusiasm for Scataboo.
Cam and Cam.
The guy boot and rally in the middle of a game. Come on.
I mean.
Cam and Cam, seriously.
He'll probably be available at 35.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty lofty.
That's where I'm like, trade back and then 71 or whatever.
You
it
take
might
him
be.
At one, though.
Well.
That's your boy.
I will definitely take a Cam at one.
Actually, you definitely wouldn't.
If I was going to take a Cam at one, it'd be Scataboo and not Ward, but that's just me.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We got weekend winners coming up next. The Stanley Cup playoffs getting underway this weekend. NBA playoffs going. We got a lot to get to on the picks front. And Rex Road surging in the competition
Let's
right
go.
Now. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you. Now on ESPN. 1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for weekend winners here on the program. Lots going on this weekend. Stanley Cup playoffs getting underway. NBA playoffs. And this stupid play-in tournament in full swing.
It's a great time of year.
It is a great time of year.
Next couple months, pretty great.
It is unfortunate that the local professional hockey team is not participating this time of year.
Yeah, there is that.
There is that. So, standings update in the competition. So, Ian Safar is walking into a situation here. He is walking into a situation. Keyser let him down last week in his last week of picks here. Now, I did not have a good week either. Rex Road surging in the competition. Rex Road 4-2 with his lock last week. I went 2-4 with my lock. Keyser in his final week, 2-4 with no lock, which brings the overall standings. Rex Road 27-21, 6-2 on his locks, good for 33 points. I am 24-24, dead even, which includes a 6-0 week and an 0-6 week. Beautiful stuff there. 24-24, 5-3 on my locks, 29 points. Ian takes over also a 24-24 record, a 3-5 record on the locks, good for 27 points. So Ian behind the eight ball because of Keyser.
Okay,
walking
some work
in
to
last
do.
Place. Some work to do here on the program. So with that in mind, we begin with the Colorado Avalanche and the Dallas Stars in Game 1 coming up this weekend. I think this is the most intriguing first-round series. There's a few of them. I mean, Tampa and Florida's pretty juicy. I think this is the juiciest with Colorado and Dallas. Joe, we begin with you just for Game 1. Who wins Game 1 between Colorado and Dallas?
Yeah, I'll go with the Stars. I feel like a lot of people are going to pick the Avs. But I'll go with the Stars.
I will go Colorado. I've got Colorado winning this series. Spoiler alert, I have Colorado winning the Stanley Cup, so we'll see what happens on that front. But I'll go Colorado to come in there Game 1. I don't love the way the Stars are playing right now. I think Colorado takes advantage of it. Ian Safar, Colorado, Dallas, Game 1.
I will also go Avs. Stars struggling a little bit, perhaps waiting for the calendar to turn to the playoffs here. But maybe won't be able to turn it on right away. Give me Colorado Game 1.
I do think there's been some of that. All right, let's get to the playoffs, and then the Stars will start playing again. But we'll see. Should be an awesome series coming up starting in Game 1.
How hurt is Robertson, by the way?
It did not look great. I don't think there's been a specific update on that yet. But
Elliot Friedman said yesterday, expect probably some update today.
Yeah, so.
But
did not sound great from Jason Robertson. The Mavericks and the Grizzlies in the final play-in game tonight. Grizzlies favored by 6 in this matchup. I'll go Mavs plus the six. I think the Grizzlies win. I think it's close. So I'll go the Mavs plus the six in this matchup. Ian Safar, who we got?
I'll go Grizz minus six.
One with the Grizz.
Yeah, Mavs, I mean, they're mentally, you know.
What a dumpster fire.
So now that the playoffs are here, I think it kind of hits to them. So we'll go Grizz.
We're going with the Grizz minus the six. Rex Road, Grizz, favored by six in this matchup.
Mavs did have a great performance with Clay the other night, which I didn't think they'd be here. Grizzlies, game time decision for Ja Morant, which is obviously massive. I just can't believe he wouldn't play in this game. But I have no doubt that ankle blew up on him after the Golden State
game. Yeah, he did tweak that pretty good, huh?
I just feel like – I think it's going to be a close game, too, and I just feel like, you know, at the end, they'll tack on a little bit at the line and cover the six.
So going with the Grizz minus the six against the Dallas Mavericks. We'll move to the individual portion of the program. Rex Road, your first individual selection.
All right, so Detroit Pistons, New York Knicks, game one in New York. Knicks minus 7.5. I think the Pistons – I'm not sure if the Pistons outright win game one, but I think they definitely push them, and I think it's going to be a very good series, and cover that. Give me the Pistons.
Ian Safar, your first individual selection.
Okay, I will start with the NHL playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, excuse me, Saturday, 5 o'clock, TNT. Give me the Winnipeg Jets game one over the Blues.
Jets against the Blues. Now, I'm picking the upset in that series. I had some Jets fans really mad at me yesterday. I picked St. Louis to beat them in that series. But it's going to be fascinating to see that one, the way that plays out. Ian going with the Jets against the Blues in game one. I will go with Ottawa over Toronto in game one in the Battle of Ontario. And that'll get the Toronto folks nice and just nice and spiced up there for the playoffs.
Oh, yes.
A nice game one loss to the Ottawa Senators. I can feel it. So give me the Senators over Toronto. I do think the Maple Leafs are going to end up winning the series. But give me the Senators in game one against Toronto. Ian Safar, your second individual selection.
All right, so number two on my list, Ottawa over Toronto in game one.
Yes.
Sunday, 6 o'clock, ESPN2. Put me down for the game one freakout in Toronto.
I mean, it's almost too easy, isn't it? Like, you can just see it coming a little bit.
Kind of. Maybe a little bit aggressive going game one. But let's start with it.
Let's start with it, see how it goes.
Get the panic going right away.
Give me Vegas over Minnesota in game one in that series. That one's going to be interesting to see how Minnesota, you know, Minnesota almost choked it away, and then they started to figure it out toward the very end. So it could be an intriguing series there. And, you know, when you have Kaprizov, you give yourself a chance. But I'll go Vegas over Minnesota in game one. And make it my lock. I'm locking down on the Golden Knights. In game one. Rex Road, your second individual selection.
So I'm going to go opposite of Ian on game one, Blues-Jets. Let's get that upset going right away. I don't think the Jets are going to lose the series, but I like St. Louis to go in there and shake up the President's Trophy winners right away.
I will start with our third round here. Give me, as has become my strategy, I'll take whoever's playing the Pirates. Give me the Cleveland Guardians minus 1.5. Against the Pirates, and Skeens is not scheduled to pitch today, so I'll also double-check that one. I'll go Guardians minus 1.5 against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So there you go. Ian Safar, your third individual selection.
Okay, let's go to the NBA. Sunday, 2:30, ABC, Boston, Orlando. Boston, minus 13.5, pretty high number for the playoffs. I'm going to take them to cover. And I'm going to guarantee that one.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to lock that one down. So Boston minus 13.5 over Orlando, Sunday, 2:30 ABC.
Going Celtics minus 13.5 against the Magic and locking down on that one. Rex Rope, your third individual selection.
I like that right away. Ian and I are going head-to-head. Give me the Magic to cover in that game. I like how they played the other night. Boston a little rusty, had a little time off. I think Boston wins by about 8 to 10 points, but give me the Magic.
So Rex Road, kick us off with the final round of individual selections here.
All right, and another NBA. Bucks-Pacers. Now, good news on Dame Lillard. The clotting thing, it's going to be it's not an issue anymore. He's going to be able to play, but he has to ramp up. So in the meantime, that's a lot on the Bucks. They are at the Pacers game one, Pacers minus 5.5. Absolutely, Pacers are going to run them out of the building in game one. Give me the Pacers, make it my lock.
Guaranteed.
Locking down on the Indiana Pacers minus the 5.5 against the Milwaukee Bucks. Ian Safar, your final individual selection.
Final selection, Sunday night, 9 o'clock, late one. NHL, keep saying that, Stanley Cup playoffs. Vegas. Give me Vegas over Minnesota game one.
Vegas over Minnesota.
I'll tag along with Robbie on that.
I'm interested to see how the Wild come out.
Dealing with some injuries.
We'll see what it looks like there. But going Vegas over Minnesota in game one. Give me the L.A. Dodgers -1.5 against the Texas Rangers. I'll go with the Dodgers. They should probably, based on their roster, win like 135 games this year. They're not going to do that. But I'll go with the Dodgers -1.5 against the Texas Rangers.
Some baseball love from Robbie today.
Yeah, sure.
Get a little baseball in there from time to time. By the way, how are your Tigers doing?
They're doing 11-8, first place.
Wow.
They're fine. The offense still dries up a little bit too much. But Spencer Torkelson is actually hitting the cover off the ball, so that is exciting. And also, PK's guy, Gleyber Torres, has been pretty good so far, I'm just saying.
I got my PK. My Stanley Cup playoff bracket out there yesterday. I've got Winnipeg, Edmonton, Florida, and Dallas all losing in the first round. Now, some of this is based on, again, I've talked about this, but, the fact that Dallas and Colorado are playing each other in the first round irritates me. Same thing with Tampa Bay and Florida. They should not be playing each other
in
the first round, but they are.
Broken record.
Somebody's got to lose there. But, this is the fourth year in a row that the Oilers and the Kings are playing each other in the first round, which also drives me insane. But I think the result's different this year. I think LA is going to beat them. I think the Kings get it done against the Oilers this year, which I'm sure will lead to some nice, calm discussions up there in Edmonton.
Oh, absolutely. You know who my Stanley Cup pick? I already told you, but so you do know. Ian, guess my Stanley Cup winning pick this year. We had to do it at The Athletic. We had to do our predictions, and I did it.
St. Louis.
Toronto Maple Leafs, let's go.
He's crazy.
1967, baby. 1967. It's all going to come together.
I will say, I do like their team this year more than I have at any other point. I think there's more balance there. So I do like that. I got them winning the first round, which is no small feat for that place.
Sure.
I do have them losing in the second round, but I do have them winning the first round.
It's going to be, oh, my goodness.
Oh, the hockey world would be ablaze.
Austin Matthews, Conn Smythe.
I've got a nice Colorado-Tampa Bay rematch in the cup final. Florida's healthy now, so they may just run through the East again. I don't know. It's hard to get to the Stanley Cup final 3 years in a row.
Tampa Bay, if they do that, boy, did we have some takes on the Preds and the Lightning moves last offseason and what they were going to lead to.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Well, my final four is Colorado-Vegas in the West and Tampa-Carolina in the East. So you could have, Vegas, who moved on from Marchessault, in the final four. Tampa, who moved on from Stamkos in the final four.
Yep.
Wouldn't that just be kind of the salt in the wound of this Predator season, is both those teams going on a deep run? And by the way, you have both of those teams first-round pick this year, too. Is that a nice 30-31 combo or something like that?
It's too bad you couldn't get Dallas.
It's time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament, benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Acura, Cromwell Media, along with Fox 17, Outfront 107.5, our phone number.
We'll be back at Hermitage Golf and Fire
on Thursday, May 29th, to make a difference while having a great time.
Headlines heading into the weekend coming up next.
Media members, athletes, and musicians, as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. You can sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road.
I'd like to touch on Nico real quick. I just saw this take. I actually wanted to bring in a John McClain take. It's a nice couple of things real quick. So Dave Hooker covered Tennessee for a long time, has Off the Hook Sports. He has his own thing going, but he just tweeted this, he just X-posted this. Says, if I'm Nico's father, my son is skipping the 2025 college football season and focusing solely on the 2026 NFL draft. That would be a disastrous decision.
It'd be a great plan.
They're trying to figure out if you're good enough for the NFL. If you don't have any better tape to put out there for them, and then you're just not playing after walking on your team, that's not going to
be a great decision.
You will be an afterthought in the 2026 NFL draft. You have to play. You have to get better. You have to prove that I think he has the tools, but you have to prove you're an NFL quarterback. Now, yesterday, Chase and Big Joe talked to John McClain, and Chase asked along the idea of, this hurting Nico's NFL hopes, and I thought John's answer was very good.
How did NFL teams view Deshaun Watson having over 35 civil suits?
Yeah.
Five teams pursued him vigorously. They don't care why he left Tennessee. They don't give a rat's, you know what, about that if they believe he can play. He's got 3 years of eligibility left. If he's good, he'll be gone to the NFL after two, and it'll be something they ask him about. And if the family sticks to this preposterous excuse that it wasn't money, it was the offense, which is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard based on everything that I've read, seen, and listened, that I've been fascinated about it. And I'm for kids getting all the money they can get, but you got to do it the right way. And this was not the right way, but it's something all teams that are interested in will ask him about, and he'll have a good answer. And then if he can play, they won't give it a second thought.
I couldn't have said it better. Like, if he's good enough, this thing means nothing.
Yeah.
Now, is he good enough? Will he be good enough? This is where he's hurt himself, because now he has to go to UCLA to prove he's good enough, and a crap team, and also get less money to do it. So, but if he's good enough, the idea that the NFL, you walked out on, the NFL will take Charles Manson if he can throw for 4,500 yards. Have we not figured this out yet?
Great pull.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You know. He is dead, right?
I'm going to assume he wasn't a very good
Charles Manson dead?
I have no idea.
All right. I'm glad. It's nice to bring up Charles Manson on Good Friday.
Yeah, really.
Good job by me.
Good stuff there.
Great.
Good stuff there. Yes, he's dead, by the way.
2017.
Yeah. Okay, cool. There you go. I'm glad he's dead.
I love John McClane so much.
John McClane rules.
They're not going to give a rat's you know what about that.
I like how he follows the, I mean, you can say the word. At least we have many, or at least I have many times. I don't know. No, that was a great answer. It is. It's just like, but yeah, this idea of like, then the other idea of like, just skip out, wait for the draft.
Yep.
No one knows if you're good enough.
Preds players speaking today, their end of season press availability starting around 4 o'clock today at Bridgestone Arena. So we'll hear from the veteran Predators players. Hopefully Roman Josi, a part of that, get kind of an injury update, idea of where he's at and all that stuff. But obviously some heavy questions for the Predators heading into the offseason of who's going to be their head coach. Is Andrew Burnett sticking around? How do the players feel about the way things are going? Are guys like Stamkos and Marchessault still all in here? So a lot to get to on that front today. We'll hear from the players today. Andrew Burnett is scheduled to speak today as well. And Barry Trotz is not. We will hear from Barry Trotz at some point next week, I believe, is the plan.
Do you know when the actual exit interviews with Trotz are?
I don't. I would imagine they're taking place. I would imagine summer today, and summer probably going on over the weekend would be my guess, and then early next week. But I think it'll be a multi-day process.
So the ones that are today, make sure you ask the players to tell you exactly what they said to Barry Trotz.
Yes.
About Andrew Burnett in particular.
Yeah. I need a full – matter of fact, if you've got the transcript from your – exit meeting with Barry Trotz, let me know.
But I do feel like in the media interviews, you can, you know, sometimes you can glean a little bit of how guys feel about him or what they might say or just how they're feeling about the direction of things, you know? I mean, like, if they like, – you will have some impassioned – I don't know about impassioned, but you'll have some pretty clear defenses of slash endorsements of Brunette if that's how they feel, I would say today.
Specifically, I'm interested to see what Stamkos and Marchessault specifically have to say today.
I mean, Marchessault is real interesting.
Marchessault could be really interesting, and, you know, he's not afraid to kind of lay it out there the way he feels. So, again, like, I don't know if they're gonna ever going to come out, like Stamkos is going to come out and, like, spill his guts to the media or anything like that. But I will say, like, you know, he went through a contract situation where he basically just laid it all out in the media last year for Tampa. So, I'm interested to see what they have to say today, interested to see what Andrew Burnett has to say today, and then, you know, what exactly is the process that Barry Trotz is going through here to make his decision.
You know French at all?
No.
If you could ask Marchessault in French. Robbie.
There you go.
Ah, oui. Très bien.
Yeah, thank you.
If you can maybe, like, work on that a little bit and just ask him about Burnett in French, he might give you a banger of an answer.
That's
in
true.
French.
He's done it once this year.
Just record it and run it through, like, AI, you know.
Translator.
The translator. Yeah, exactly.
I might have to do that.
It's worth a shot,
give
man.
Me an idea today. I'm interested to see how that goes. Obviously, we got a busy week next week. Tennessee's still looking for a quarterback in the portal. We'll have more news at some point on the Brunette front next week. And, oh, by the way, the NFL draft finally here next week, too. So a lot going on next week.
Big exhale. And finally, and we can get to the Stanley Cup and NBA playoffs, which is awesome.
Yes, it is. Very much so. Hope everybody has a great Easter weekend. We'll be back at 6 a.m. on Monday morning. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.